You guys don't hear it, but my ear does something weird when it's loud. I tell Memo to pray for me because I had kind of a hard week this week. And it wasn't about me, though. I made a lot of visits this week. And it's weird. Everywhere I went, somebody was broken. And it kind of broke me. You know the song, the last song we sang, Francis? When I was singing that song, the first time I heard it, and it came back again today, is I felt like even singing the song right now, I'm gonna tell you like what happened really was that I remember back times when I was helpless, you know, but God was always there for me. And so I was able to sing hallelujah, amen. There's another song like it, and it came out in it too, is when Harry, we were doing his funeral, we sang a song like that. And when I sang hallelujah, it released me from what I was feeling because I knew where Harry was, where he was, amen. And so it was a grateful thing. And that's what that song reminded me of, even when we're broken, you know, and even if we're broken for others, the Lord's always there, amen. My message is going to be a little harsh today. I don't usually share like this, and I don't mean it to be harsh, so hopefully you take it as an encouragement to let God work in your life and change your life, amen. We're living in a world just like Corinth was at the time. We're in the latter part of chapter 6 today, but I want to give you a little bit of information that I really didn't give you before. You know, I gave you information on the subject matter that he was speaking of each time, but that city, it was like a seaport town where everything that came in went through that city, and it went all around from there. It was dispersed to all other places. And I don't know if you guys have been to seaport towns, but especially in foreign countries and things like that, but there's a lot of prostitution, there's a lot of drugs, gambling, all kinds of things, okay? And this was no different back then. They had these temples. And this is what the city was known for. What was the goddess's name? Or the Memo, was it Aphrodite's? Huh? Ishtar is one, yeah. Aphrodite's, I think, was another. And huh? The same. He's probably saying it in the Hebrew or Greek, but it's Greek to me. But they were known for having 2,000 prostitutes that were priestesses. And they were like a fertility. She was a fertility god and a god of sex. And these people were dealing with that. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're 11, 12 years old and up, you're addicted to pornography today. I don't care who you are, and you can try to deny it, but it's the truth. It's everywhere. It's at your fingertips, you know? And the more I get close to people, the more I get to know them, the more I understand what they're dealing with. They start to share things with me, and my heart's broken. My heart's broken. The enemy has us bound, has Christians bound. They won't speak up. We won't speak up for the truth. We won't speak up for what's going to help them and save them and deliver them from these things, because the enemy has the world bound by their truth, that falsehood that he brings into people's lives. And even in the church today, you know, and they were dealing with it 2,000 years ago, the same way. And Paul has to directly speak to them about it. Okay? But he shares something beautiful. And that's where I want to start today. Okay? Let me open up some prayer and then we'll go right there. Okay? You're going to be in a few different places today if we get there, but definitely in chapter 6 of Corinthians. Okay? Father, we just want to come to you, Lord, and come before you, Father. I want to come broken. That song reminded me of it. Thank you, Francis, for that last song. All we really have, Lord, is a hallelujah. There's no not one of us righteous, Lord, not one of us good. And Lord, I want to be that voice. I want to be the one that sounds out, you know. Your word says that we should be yelling it from the roofs of our house. from the mountaintops. We ought to have it written on our doorpost, on our gates, Lord. And where did Christianity go today? Even the sermons I hear or churches I attend sometimes, Lord, when I'm not here, I hear, I don't know how to say it, I guess, just a lackadaisical, that's not even a word, but something that's not the true word of God being spoken anymore. Lord, people are going to get mad at me, but the truth is they're hanging gay flags outside the church. And all kinds of other things are going on, Lord. And I really feel in prayer this week, especially when I started seeing the brokenness of people, I started seeing how we're bound. We're bound up. We should be binding those things up. We shouldn't be bound by them. We ought to be silencing them. Lord, it's amazing to me, Lord, and thank you for sharing that with me, and thank you for sharing lives with me, people, Father, that I could see how broken they are. And thank you for sharing with me, Lord, how broken I am. You know, how bound up we are. I was thinking about Brother Memo and how everybody, I'm sorry, Memo, I'm just going to share it, but I was thinking, Lord, about Brother Memo and how we all look up to him. And the reason we look up to him is because we want to be like that. We want to be more like that. Not because Memo has something special, but because Memo's seeking you, Lord. And it's not that I'm not seeking you. It's not that others aren't seeking you, but we need to seek you more, Lord. We need to share you more, Lord. And I just ask, Father, that as I see, because I see the brokenness, Lord, and I wonder why these lives weren't already touched. Why your church is just not doing what they've been called to do, and it's because of the things going on in our lives. And so I just ask, Lord, that that today's message wouldn't be so harsh to people, but that they would see through your spirit what, not what I could tell them, but what you're telling them, Lord, isn't right. And that we would work towards being delivered from that by spending more time in your presence, spending more time in your word, trusting you more with what we know to be true, Lord, with the things you're sharing with us. And Lord, that we would be as bold as the world. The world has no problem telling us what their truth is, what they believe. Lord, I would never shove your word or my beliefs down anybody's throat, Lord, but we just need to be who we say we are. We need to be Christians everywhere we are, in every circumstance, around every person. And we don't need to be bound. Lord, we need to be loosed. Memo just prayed that for me right now as I bring your message, that it wouldn't be about me, but it'd be about you. And so, Lord, I truly ask for that. If I make it about me at all today, Lord, which I feel like I already have a little bit, it's not because of me, but because of the brokenness I see in people. And Lord, we need to be a people that know you and love you, and that we can know and love you sharingly with others. That's truly what I ask for. And help us realize what it is that's hindering us today, so that we can be delivered from that and truly seek you in it, Lord, so that we can allow you to work through your servants, a servant's heart, Lord. And right now we may just have a hallelujah. We may just be broken, and that's okay, knowing that you're going to strengthen us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'll share with you as I go, but I had some pretty crazy things happen this week. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to try to go fast. They didn't give me much time. They should start my time after I pray. Amen? You did? I just go longer? Sorry. We're in 6:12. I want to read verse 17 to you first, though. Are you guys there? Everybody's there? Okay. But he who unites But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Amen? That's the key verse. Not just for this passage of scripture, it's the key verse for our lives. We're going to be talking about things today that I don't like to talk about. Okay? Do you know why our world is so screwed up today? I mean, I don't know why or where it started. I'm sure it happened in the beginning, you know? But I look around in the world today, and most of us, especially for our children, we don't want the things we did, right? And I was thinking about it, like, the Bible says that, and we're going to read about it, but the Bible says that when we unite ourselves with somebody else, that we become one flesh with that person, right? Right? How many people have these young people united themselves with? All right. I even took it deeper. I was like, Lord, like, if I've been with somebody who's been with 100 people, did I unite myself with those 100 people? It's crazy, right? But that's where everybody's heart and mindset is in the world today. So it's messed up. It's really messed up. And where does all that come from? Right? We see it in everything in the world. And then we don't even speak about it. We don't bring it up. We don't mention it. And when we do it in secret. Right? And God's the one who can deliver people from this. He can keep us from it. He can save us from it. He can save our children. Amen? Amen. But instead, today, we have people who say that they're one, that they say that they're a man's a woman or a woman's a man, and they're teaching our children in schools. And we don't say anything. Somehow it just snuck in and we're okay with it. Can you imagine? I told you guys I didn't want to share this. It started somewhere, right? The one thing I've noticed over the years is that what we allow our children embrace, so every generation gets worse. It just keeps happening. It keeps happening, right? Look at the things we're dealing with our children and grandchildren. My neighbor came over to my house crying the other day because she got a phone call that her granddaughter did the surgery to remove her breast and all kinds of other stuff. Wants to be called a boy. Here she is, a solid Christian woman, just broken. You know? Before she left my house, I hope we were singing hallelujah. Far out, huh? Just brokenness. There's brokenness in the world. Amen? The same neighbor left yesterday knowing that she's moving back there, wherever they're from, and to be with family. But she left more secure in who she was going to be when she got there. Right? You still love that person, but that person has to know you're not okay with it. Understand? That you stand for something else. That you stand for the real truth, not their truth, but for God's truth. Amen? Amen. You get it? But there's a brokenness in that, isn't there? Didn't you feel broken when I told you the story? I almost cried with the lady. Inside I was. You get it? Is there somebody in your family? There's somebody in mine that I feel broken for all the time. How is it even a thing? Right? And how many of us just stay quiet? How many of us even walk away from Christ because of it? I've seen multiple people, because they love their family so much, they're going to walk away from Christ. That's not love. Amen. Nobody wants to hear this. I told you guys, I warned you, you could leave. Amen. You can leave if you wish. Just so you know, I never share like this, but it's something that just happened this week over and over and over again. Like it's, and I felt it, like spiritually I felt it. It changed me. Amen. Cody's like, oh, I didn't know about that. Amen. You see, brother? I'm sorry, but you see it, right? It's affecting you. Why? Not because I said it, because the Holy Spirit's revealing it. It's a deeper truth. It breaks us. It should break us. It should deliver us from being bound so that we can speak the truth in love. Right? So we can share our lives righteously. Why? Because it's the life that God gave us to live in the presence of people that they might be free. Why should we be bound by the world? We were, weren't we? Sitting quiet, just letting it happen. Far out. I saw it when I was younger. My friends made fun of me because we couldn't go places with them. We couldn't have what they had because my wife didn't work because nobody else was going to raise our kids. You know what I mean? Right? Especially after we got saved and we saw the world back then. I see it today. It's way worse. It's way worse. So I took you to that verse 17 because when our relationship is right with God, amen, that unity with God is stronger than the relationship of husband and wife. It's stronger than any other relationship or anything in the world. You understand? It's what makes all those other things right and better. You want to have a better marriage? Right? Seek the Lord.
He does wonders.
Love him. Right? Sister, he's the one that delivers us. You get it? You know how I know about the pornography and how everybody struggles with it? Everyone. Actually, you women are worse than men, just so you know. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing, but a lot of you are shaking your head. Hey. It's because when I was a young man, I struggled with it. Right? Don't we all? Get it? And you know what it affects? Every relationship you've had outside of marriage affects your marriage. Because now you're comparing somebody you say you love with all these other people. Right? The enemy uses that to destroy you. Get it? But the closer you get to the Lord, the more he delivers you from that, the more he shares with you his love, the more you learn to love others the way you were meant to love them. Amen? You get it? And those things can be mended in Christ. He can set you free. He can renew your mind. Nobody's listening. Let's just go back to 6:12. You know, I've read this and read this and read this over the years, and it wasn't until now that I truly understood it. Do you know what was happening in the church? Because of people's sin? Because they brought the world into the church and was making the church carnal, like I always tell you guys, we're not going to do here. Amen? We can try. We can try. But we're going to share the word, the truth of the word. Amen? So people were, just like today. Mike, I meant to just share and share and share, but all these things keep coming up. You guys have heard, some of you have heard this story, but I want to share it with you because it fits perfect, okay? I was teaching a 12-step program. And this program was, even the AA, all that stuff came from this program. It was biblical to start with. You understand? So I was teaching this 12-step program, and one of the ladies who was coming started to bring her husband, and I thought I was working with them well, you know? Well, one day she comes in and just starts admitting because she gets upset. I never knew anything about it. I never said anything to her. All I did was read God's word. So it was the conviction of the Holy Spirit, okay? But she told me that she's saved by grace and that nobody was going to tell her that she wasn't. And I said, what do you mean by that? I never said any of that to you. I mean, we were talking about God's grace. We were reading his word, but I never directed it. You understand? And she confessed sleeping with her drug dealer to pay off her husband and her debt to him. Right? And so what she was confessing is that she was being convicted by the word of God for what she did, but nobody was going to tell her it was wrong because she's saved by grace. You think that's crazy? People do it. And people think that way, and churches teach it.
Yep.
It's true. And I want to say something to you so we don't take it out of context. We are saved by grace.
Yeah.
You can't work for it. Understand? There's nothing you can do except for believe in the one and only Son of God. Amen?
Yeah.
You get it? Okay, so it's not that it's not true, but it's definitely taken out of context. So the church was saying that because they brought this stuff into the church in Corinth, right? And so this is what the church was saying right here. Listen, Paul quotes them. Everything is permissible for me. They were boasting. Do you remember when they boasted about somebody who was having a sexual relations with the father's wife? This is the kind of stuff that was happening in the church. You get it? And so they're saying, well, everything's permissible for me. That's what they were saying. They got here, Mem. I don't know, just random, sorry. Everything's permissible for me. And Paul contradicts it with not everything is beneficial. So you see, the one truth is we're saved by grace. Right? But should we live in an abundance of grace that God may abound all the more? Absolutely not. That's not what we were called to. We once were these things. Now we're a people of God. Amen? But see, the world has us bound. So we don't speak. Isn't that crazy? Why? Because we're still involved in things we shouldn't be involved in. We're still thinking a certain way. We're still acting a certain way. Remember, Laura, when you and I were together this week, we were talking about that we need to let those things go because they're not who we are anymore, right? We're not drug addicts anymore, right? We're not alcoholics anymore. We're not this anymore. We're not that anymore. You get it? Why are we still living like we are, right? Are you a child of a great king or not? Amen? The more we know who he is, the less we can be fooled.
That's right.
We're going to get there if we can get to the scripture. But you talk too much, so we're, you know. You guys need a front row so I can pick on you. I haven't seen you for a while. Amen.
Amen.
Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Here it is again. Everything is permissible for me. But I will not be mastered by anything. Amen? So let's look at the context, right? If the church was trying to get away with something, Paul's telling him, yeah, that might be true, but it's not going to benefit you. No, Mike? Take it to the context of what we're talking about today, right? Right? Because everything's permissible. I'm bound by their truth and I'm not going to say anything. I was visiting with my sister this week too, you know? And every time I see her, I want to cry because she's so beat up. You know, and she's like in a rest home and she's a young lady, you know, trying to get back. Right? But what I kept seeing is where she needs to be in the Lord. Amen. I see the physical, but nobody's looking at the spiritual. Right? It's weird, right? And I'm almost bound because I'm her brother. You know, she wants prayer and stuff, but sometimes I try to share more and it's like, oh, that's just mad or whatever. You know what I mean? It's not like that. She loves me, but still, it's almost like I'm bound. Like I can't be free to be me and just share everything I want to share with her. I can see where she's at, you know? That's not her fault. That's my fault. That's what I want to talk to you about today when I took you to 17. Our union with Christ is stronger than any other union.
Amen.
Okay? But if we're not spending time with him, we're not living in him. And if we're not living in him, we're not sharing him. And if we're not sharing him, lives aren't being changed. And how many of us fit that category? Right? Remember I told you I was going to be harsh today? I'm not saying that to bring you down. I'm saying that to free us and release us to be right in him. Amen?
Amen?
Let's bind those things in the world, amen? So that we might be loose to share the truth that we have in Christ. Where does our truth lead? Right now, it leads to freedom, right? But ultimately, it leads to eternal life. Get it? Francis, hug them again. No, right now, hug them again. That's going to be for me. All right? Just so you guys know, that's for me.
I was asking you if they want to go with you.
All right, good.
But they want to hear your crazy self preach.
Amen.
Bye.
Amen. All right. Food for the stomach and stomach for food. It just blows my mind. He's using something like, it's something too. He's still answering the church. And he answers the church of Corinth over and over again because there was a letter written to him. He talks about it in the next chapter and he talks about it a few other times. But there's a letter written to him asking him questions. Right? The first verse of chapter 7 is now to Now for the matter you wrote me about. Amen? So he's answering them. And that's one of the other things. They're constantly trying to use worldly things instead of spiritual things to get by with the things they shouldn't be doing anymore. And he tells them, but God will destroy them both. Don't use these things when you know the truth. Okay, because when we keep seeking these things and we're not being who God's called us to be and the world's, our lives aren't changed, right? You're either going to be changed by the world or you're going to change the world around you. So if God's not using our life, think about the people in your life, you guys, okay? Because I have a lot of people in my immediate circle. Most of them are you guys and some others, right? But then you barely look just outside of where you're living and you see all this brokenness. I see it in the church. I see you guys broken. Right? Sister? Right? You get it? You guys don't even know what I see. But you know what I want you to know is that it breaks me. It breaks Memo. And it breaks believers who see it because they love you. Amen? We should be broken for each other. You get it? Because we have that unity with Christ. And our desire isn't for anything other than you to have the same unity. And as we grow that unity with Christ, Francis, we get closer to each other. It's the way it's supposed to be. Anyways, I get carried off. I'm sorry. Let's go back. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Amen? Every commentary I read brought that to after we pass, we're going to be raised with him, okay? But I want to share something with you. Me and Cody were listening to a song on the way down the hill, and she loves this song. She plays it all the time. And there's nothing that can hold my body down, I think, right? Ain't no grave that can hold my body down. Have you guys heard it? It's like that song rocks me. I'm like, yeah, like you know, because it's our truth and we know it's true, right? It's something we long for, right? But I don't see it like that. I'm sorry. I know that that's true, okay? But the way I take this verse and the way I see that song, nothing should be holding us down now because God's not the God of the dead but the living. We ought to be speaking that life. We ought to be living that life. Amen? And nothing in this world should bind us and hold us back. Nothing should hold us down. Amen? Lazarus, come out! You get it? Stephen, come out already! Let it go, brother. It's the past. You've been forgiven for it. You've been set free. Amen? And you've been set free to be born again and live a new life. A life of eternal life. Amen? You're saying amen too much. It's almost like a bad habit. Finally, thank you. This is a tough crowd, man. Come on now. You know, I used to have signs, and I need to get them back. One says hallelujah, one says amen. Try to get something out of you guys. You know? I raise my hand, it's one or the other, okay? Are you ready? Yeah.
Amen.
I got two. Here we go. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you guys understand that? It's not just one day this will take place. It's every day in a Christian's life. I want to be raised up in him. Amen. I want to experience him every day. And I want to have an expectation of that. I want to know that when I get down on my knees and I'm praying to God and I'm opening his word, that he's going to speak to me. Amen. And he's not just going to speak what I want to hear. He's going to speak his truth into my life. And it's going to change my life. And as those changes come, amen, this is the encouraging part. Are you ready? As those changes come, he's going to use my life to help change the lives of others. Because there's not one of us sitting here today that our life wasn't changed because God was working the life of somebody we love. Amen.
Did you go over to the second?
Are you pushing me somewhere, brother? Food for the stomach and stomach for the food, but God will destroy them both. The body is meant... Oh, yeah, thank you. That's what the whole subject is about. Come on, brother. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Amen. You know, there's people, and I hear it all the time, and I'm in agreement, but they always say that all sin is equal. And they say it because they don't want anybody to be hindered from coming. Do you understand? Okay. But this is very clear today. We're going to read it. That this right here is the temple of God. You know what you were created for? For God to live in. This is his temple. Amen. And we ought to hold it to that reverence. Do you understand? We have an outward reverence for him, right? Like this altar, people we love in the Lord and stuff like that. But this is his temple. This is where he lives. So the things we do to the body, we're doing directly onto him. He gets crazy here. That's why I brought you to 17 first. Because the unity we have with Christ, that relationship we have with the Lord, amen, should outweigh all these other things and set us free from these other things. Okay? Because this is where he lives. The heart. Amen? You learned about that a couple weeks ago. Here we go. By his power, wait a minute, let me go back to it. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Amen? Do you not know that your body... Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? What happened, Mike, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Amen. And you were raised in the newness of life. Right? But we repent because we're admitting we need somebody to save us. Right? You know, we're not being saved from the world because we still live in the world. We're being saved from ourselves, who we were without him. Do you understand? And so when we ask repentance for that, we ask him to come into our heart. Amen? And to live with us. And that's what this is saying. We are one with him. He now lives in us. You understand? Right? Why would we unite him with all these things we do, especially sexually? Am I allowed to talk in front of your kids like this? If not, you guys need to leave. Okay? Here we go.
Bring it.
You liked me saying that to your uncle, huh? Not good, girl. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? That's what was happening in the church because of those temple gods we were just talking about. They were bringing the sin of the world into the body of Christ and trying to act like everything's permissible. Right? And that's how all those things get bound where we don't speak about them. That's how the enemy uses that. Right? And before we know it, things are out of control and we can't do anything about it. And the ones that are trying are broken because people are broken. And people that won't surrender to the Lord, amen, and just sing a hallelujah in the midst of all of it, They won't speak. How many of us won't speak? I was watching some crazy stuff on the news this last week about what people in our government are fighting for. Unheard of things. People shouldn't even speak them. And they're yelling them from the tops of the roofs, the rooftops. The very thing we're supposed to be doing. And yet we're bound and they're free. And their freedom's destroying everything around them. And we're bound. We don't say nothing. Why don't we say something? Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. And you know why people don't say anything? Because they've already been one flesh with hundreds of people. They're already bound. I was a youth pastor for 15 years. I dealt with that every day. Crazy stuff. Unheard of things. You ever been to a rave party? Don't lie, brother. We're in church. You ever been to a rape? No. But he who unites himself, here's the scripture we were on, right? But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Amen. See the beauty of that? That's the born again part that Mike was talking about. He was buried with Christ, right? You were just baptized, remember? When we went over that scripture and stuff with Jordan. That's why we want to be baptized and follow him into baptism, okay? Because we're telling the world that we are buried with Christ. We're going to bury that old life. You get it? Right? And then we're going to be raised up in him in the newness of life. And when we're united with Christ spiritually, that's who we are. Amen? I get put in some crazy positions, you guys. Things I don't even want to be. What am I doing here? You know? But it doesn't change who I am in Christ when I'm there. You get it? How many of us shy away from who we are? I was at Memo's house the other day and I was shying away from who I was. Just teasing. Here we go. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sin man commits are outside of his body. Remember I told you that a lot of people say all sin is equal, right? It's not that it's not true, because the fact is that God can forgive all sin. That's what makes it equal. But we're talking to believers who are choosing to still do these things. And they're sinning against the temple of the most holy God. Do you understand? I'd say raise your hand if you're involved in that, but everybody would raise their hand. So we already know. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to do something about it. Amen? It's the very thing keeping us silent. It's the very thing the enemy's using to keep us quiet. It's time to let God in and correct that in our lives. Amen? Amen, Ange?
Amen.
You see my hand?
Yeah.
It says amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, sister. Amen. How come we can't say amen?
Hallelujah.
How come we can't say it?
Amen.
Why can't we say it?
Thank you, Jesus.
Why can't we be loud about it?
Amen.
What's holding us back?
Amen.
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 Finally. Now mean it. Now mean it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
That's right.
Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. You were bought at a price. That's everything we're talking about today. It goes with verse 17, okay? You were bought at a price, Mike. Right? You were purchased with the blood of your Savior. Right? Where does your Savior live?
Heart.
In your heart. Amen? So the fullness, God, the Bible says that God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in his Son. The fullness of his deity dwell in his Son. Amen? And where does his Son live now?
Amen.
Hello? Next time we have an urge to do those things that keep us quiet, remember where Christ lives. Amen? I personally made a commitment to keep him first and foremost right in my face. Every decision I make. The hardest part for me is what comes out of my mouth. Right, Mike? Right, Mike? That's funny. Mike's was simple today. Nothing bad. But he had to say something. I think the word was stupid. It was worse than you were thinking worse than that, amen? But we can't think that way about our brothers, our sisters, amen? Those little things slip out on me all the time in my mind and heart, you know? And I need to stop them. That's what I'm working on. Right, Ange? Heck no, you need to start though. Here we go. Yeah, that's the problem. That's a real problem. We've all experienced it. We know. That's terrible. You were bought at a price, amen? We need to remember the price that was paid. Right? Because when we remember that price and who it is that lives in us, right? It doesn't just change us, it changes everything around us.
Amen.
You get it? How can we keep doing the things we do and say the things we say and treat people the way we treat them and all these things when we know what was paid for us? Right?
That's right.
When we were nothing, he paid that price for us. So when somebody isn't being the way we want them to be, you know, talking the way we want them to talk, acting the way we want them to act, right? We need to be that for them. The same way he was there for us, amen? That's what that's talking about. And we can't do that if we're like them. We can't do that if we're not in the relationship we're supposed to be having with him that fixes all the other relationships. And can't you see it? You know, when people cross their arms like that, it means they're not in agreement. Is there something we need to talk about, sister? Because, like, you know. I'm sorry. All I can say is hallelujah. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Francis. You were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. Amen? Amen. That's what the church was dealing with then, but I say that our world is dealing with that today. Okay, I have a few more minutes, so let's go. You want to go somewhere else? You want to call it right now? Okay. I didn't ask you. I asked him. Okay. Let's go to John. That's the one I want to share. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. People look at this scripture like it's for pastors or only about Christ, but it's about all of us who are Christians. Okay? Everybody there? John 10.
What?
Yeah, 10:1.
10:1?
Yep. Everybody there? Okay. I tell you the truth. You see, God's truth is different than man's truth. And he's combating man's truth here, okay? You ready? And in saying what he says right there, starting off, is everything we've been talking about this morning about being free. Okay, watch. I tell you the truth, a man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. You get it? Now, there's people out there that are trying to deceive people, okay? Right? Purposely. There's ministries that are trying to deceive people. But how many of us, because we're not living the life that we chose to live in Christ, are deceiving the people around us? Right? You get it? Like, I've been in sermons or services where things are left out. You know me, I can't leave things out. That's why we're not doing a service on Palm Sunday, which we should be doing. You get it? I'm so like, I have to stay right where I'm at. Okay, and multiple different times at different places, but I'm where I'm at. What I mean by that is different Bible studies, different messages, okay? But the Bible tells us that if we're different somewhere else, but we know how to be when we're here, that when we're here, we're just lying to each other. We're deceiving each other. And out there, we're thieves and robbers because people aren't coming to know the God we know, right? They're coming to know the person that they think that we are. Do you understand? We need to be spending time with Him so we can display Him to others. Not what we think, not who we think He is, but who He really is. If we don't come through the gate, Jesus has to explain it to us when we get there, hopefully, okay? But He's the gate.
That's right.
How many times have I told you guys, you don't have the right to share the gospel if you first haven't experienced Him in it? You want to know why? Because you're going to share what you think you know. Instead of knowing who it is you're sharing. Right? You get it? Okay, watch. And when we're bound by things of the world, we're not sharing who it is we say we know. Right? We can't even open our mouths to share it. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchmen open the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Remember, how many times have I told you, Jacob, if I told you once, you can't be fooled if you know who he is. Right? But there's a world out there trying to fool everybody. You know what happens when I hear something that isn't of God? It goes against my spirit. Why? Because my spirit is united with his spirit. So I can see it. I'm not going to follow it. I'm not going to listen. Memo says it all the time. Take what you know is good from the message and the rest of it, let it go. Right? But if we're not spending time with him, we won't know that. And how many of us sitting here today are deceived by all kinds of things because we don't know that? What ends up happening is we live as little deceivers ourselves. Right? Messed up, sister. But you're probably the only one in the room getting it. Thank you. She's like a sponge, that kid. Okay, where am I? To him who speaks, when he listens. Okay, listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Where's he leading them out of? Amen? Everything we've been talking about. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them. I love this part. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Amen? You know what happens, you guys, when you're trying to share with somebody who God is, but you don't really know him because you're not spending time with him? You know what this is saying? This is saying that because I know him, I know where he's working. I know where he's calling me to. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. When I was experiencing these things this week, amen? One of them, Laura, was with me. And I was experiencing something so horrific. It was so horrific, Laura. Heartbreaking. There was something else going on, but the person was reacting to something that wasn't going on. Amen? And I knew it. I could see it. I could see it because God calls you. You hear his voice. Amen? So I started asking certain questions, and what happened, Laura? We got to the root of it, and it all came out, and it was horrific. Horrific. Right away, I understood the anger. I understood everything about it. Amen? But it was horrific. And you know what? I've been praying ever since then, and we prayed with her there, Laura. She needs to be delivered from that. She needs to be united with Christ. Right? She needs to have a oneness, a unity with him, because he can overcome those things. Amen? Yeah. Well, I was there when she was there years ago. Amen? All right. That was horrific to me. I was broken. Literally, like, I felt her pain. First, we were trying to talk over her pain, trying to tell her all these churchy things, you know? But then when I felt her pain, I realized that God can work in her life to deliver her if he'll let her, if she'll let him, right? But I felt the pain. It was no longer me trying to convince her of something that I thought I knew because he delivered me at one time, but she needed to be delivered. It wasn't about us. When you use those churchy words, it's about you. When you live broken for somebody, it's about them. Amen. Here we go. Mr. Beatitude over there. I still got 3 minutes. Here we go. See how they got me on a timer, brother? It's not right. It's kind of that binding we were... Oh, no. Here we go. I want to be loosed from this timer, Lord. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Remember I just shared with you guys, when something's not right, it goes against my spirit? You get it? Why? Because you're connected to his spirit. And I want to share this with you, okay, sister? Because you told me not to pick on you, okay? All right. And this isn't picking on you, it's just you're looking at me. All right? All right? When these things come up, okay, we know the truth. Why do we choose what's not true? Because we know. Do you know why we choose what's not true? Bam. I wasn't talking about your life. Come on now. I wasn't expecting that. It's true though, right? You know why we do it, sister? Because we haven't been plugged in. And so whatever we're plugged into, right, is going to be where we end up going to. Right? Why do we keep doing the same things over and over and over again when we already know the outcome? Because it's what we know. Right? Well, we could have that in the Lord too. If we truly know him, when these things come up, our yes is going to be yes and our no is going to be no. You young people, because of what we talked about today, I don't know if you're here for all of it. You young people, no, just teasing. Don't point fingers, sister, it's terrible. If you are in a situation, you find yourself in a situation, you're going to mess up. And I'm talking about all kinds of things out there, being with guys or girls or drugs or alcohol or any of these things. Okay, and you, oh no, not me. Every one of us that are older than you have been there. Okay? But when you determine ahead of time what you're going to do when those things come up, especially if it's in Christ, you're not going to do them. Because you're going to know ahead of time. You've already made your yes, yes, your no, no before you were put in this situation. Now I'm telling you, Christians, know who it is you say you serve so that when those things happen, you know it's not his voice calling you. You know whose voice it is. Amen? I do counseling on Tuesdays. Okay. Jesus used this figure of speech. Listen how we are. Remember I told you they knew. You get it? It's like, but their heart wasn't there yet. Do you understand? Sometimes we find ourselves like that, right? Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again. You guys, sometimes we know, but we're not there. Okay? So what do? We just keep taking it to them. And we keep taking it to them. And we keep taking it to them. Remember on Tuesday I was telling you guys, the more we do that, one day we say, when did we stop doing that? As long as we keep taking it to him, he's going to deliver us. As long as we never give up. Amen? You got a problem? That's okay. It's not okay if you choose to live in it. Take it to the Lord. Amen? I tell you, brother, I could be up here for hours and hours giving you testimony after testimony where God delivered me from things. But he didn't deliver me just because I asked. He delivered me because I kept seeking him. I kept asking. Amen? All right, here we go. So Jesus is going to explain it to him. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. There's only one way. You want to be delivered? I've seen a lot of people in the world be delivered from things, and they just add two or three things to it. Right? Remember the lady who was delivered from the demon? Demon went around checking out all these other demons, hanging out with people and stuff. Came back, saw the house was empty. Whoa! One got seven worse than him and went and rehabited the house. Okay? This house was meant for him, right? Didn't we just read that today? Amen? Get it, sister? When we're seeking the Lord and we're uniting with him like we're supposed to, amen? What happens is when the Father prunes those things out of our life, new growth comes and healthy fruit. He replaces it with a piece of himself. Amen? That's called being born again. Being raised up in the newness of life. The old is gone, the new has come. Amen? Amen? When did the church lose its thirst? That's really the name of the message today. I never entitle them, but you do a good job of that. When did they lose their thirst? I'm in church with you guys all the time, and when I see you guys thirsty for a little bit, I get excited. Like, man, Lord, make that start to flow. Amen? Get it? But we struggle with it, huh? You guys, it's supposed to flow so freely that it flows in the lives of other people. Okay, nobody's listening. Here we go. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. I love that part. I was reading that. I was thinking about Psalms 23 and some other stuff. And I love that part because what it's saying is that when we go in to him, right, we're spending time with him, and he sends us back out into the world, we still find a place of peace there because we take him with us because we spent time with him. Amen? Right? And we impart that peace to others who in the world can't find it. All those people that I was with this week that were so broken, when we left, they were happy. Even if it was just in the moment, peace was imparted to them. And that's why we need to keep taking that moment to them. Keep taking that moment to them. Why? Because just like us, when we keep taking it to the Lord, eventually he takes it from us. If we keep taking it and taking it and taking it, eventually they'll accept it and receive it and their life will change. Right? But what's keeping us from doing that? Why are we bound? Why aren't we free? That's a question between you and God. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Okay. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Who's the thief? Right? She says the enemy. You know, it's the enemy also living in us. Am I in 10? No, 10. Is it just in half a 10? Okay. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I just shared that with you. We need to keep taking his peace. Keep taking his peace. Impart that peace to them. Right? Cody thinks I'm crazy because I go every week to see my sister. If I could, I'd go every day. Because it's so far. It took me 3 hours to get there. I stayed 2 hours. It took me 3 hours to get to your dad's house. 6 hours just to go spend 2 hours with somebody. You get it? What are you doing with the time that you spend with God? Are you taking it and imparting it somewhere? Are you sharing it? You know, the more, I don't know. I just love you so much. Here we go. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Isn't that beautiful? So when you see that brokenness, you see that abomination, that thing that just, you know, he came to give them life. Just like he did us and give it to the full, amen? Which means you have to be full of him to give him fully to somebody else. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I just said that. I should have just waited and read it to you. Because he calls us to the same thing. Lay down your pride. Lay down your anger, your unforgiveness. Lay down your jealousy. Lay down whatever it is. Amen? So that God can work in you to be the person that he can work through to touch the life of these other people. You get it? Why are you here today? To listen to somebody who's sharing something with you because he loves you. Right? Get it? He wants to lay down his life. He wants to impart something. I had Memo pray for me this morning because I wanted to be broken when I shared this because it was a hard message to share. I've shared messages like this and half the church leaves and I don't see it, most of them again. See? Because you're either going to speak life or death to people. But you need to speak. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. The enemy and anybody living in him is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. Amen. Just know so that there's no misunderstanding. I don't believe in me and Memo being shepherds. I believe there's only one. Do you understand? And I believe that when we're one with him, that he works through all of us who are his to share with others. Amen. Okay? So when we look at this, we're looking at him being the shepherd that is working through us. Right? When we're following him. When we're not following him, it's a different shepherd. And he only came to kill, steal, and destroy. And he'll even use the church to do it. You understand? You get it? Okay. Now I'm over a few minutes. I got to end it here. The thief goes, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because, and this is you and I with our mouths shut and bound, into, we're bound and we're not being who we are. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Right? We think we know something. We're even working through the motions, those churchy things, right? But there's no power in it. You get it? You wonder why sometimes your life isn't changing. You wonder why when you speak to people, they're not listening. There's no power in it. A person sees the life lived in Christ. Remember I told you guys, I think I was at your house on what, Thursday? Right? And I was sharing with you guys that it's not what we say, it's who we are. Right? Everyone can confess Christ. Everyone can confess him in the flesh, that he came in the flesh. Right? They're just words. They're just words. But when we know him and we choose to live in him, there's power in that. People see the truth being displayed. No longer being bound. So I ask you again in the closing of this message, what's binding you? And again, that's between you and him. But if he shared something with you today, let him loose you from it. Because what's loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amen? You get it? Okay. And I looked up those words, but I don't have time to share them with you. I was thinking when I was younger, they had this machine that bound stuff on the pallet. Like, shook it tight where it couldn't move. Amen. And have you ever cut one of those things, those metal things? It's like, blam, the stuff just goes flying. Amen. Let's be like that. Amen. All right. Father, we just want to come to you, Lord, thanking you for today. We ask, Father, that, Lord, that we don't just leave here today it's what I was sharing earlier. It's we don't hear you, Father, because we're choosing other things. And I don't want us to leave here today not hearing you. You know what it was, Lord, the commitments I made to you, Father. And I just ask, Lord, that it's going to be hard. I know it is, Lord, to overcome those that way of thinking, the way of even speaking sometimes. But, Lord, I just ask, Father, that And I'm sharing that with the church freely, Lord, that I struggle with that. But I'm just asking, Lord, that that you deliver me from it, because I want to share you more righteously. I want to be the man that I know you created me to be, and I want to be the vessel that you live in and can live in me freely. And if there's other things, Lord, I ask that you continue to reveal yourself to me. And I ask that for everyone here, Father, that as you shared things this morning with them, Father, I know you shared things with them that I didn't even speak about, because that's how you are, Lord. And Father, they would take those things seriously, and that they would take them to you, and take them to you, and take them to you, Lord, until one day they are taking something else, because you've already changed those things about them. And I just ask for that, Lord. Don't let us leave here today just going back to what we were doing. Let us leave here today with an expectation that you're going to change those things about us that you shared. And I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.